Last time we began Hilchos Mezuzah, and our introduction to Hilchos Mezuzah was the official introduction to Hilchos Mezuzah. You remember last time we saw that Hilchos Mezuzah is one of those sections of Tur and Shulchan Aruch that opens with an official introductory siman. The organizational scheme of Shulchan Aruch is borrowed entirely from the Tur. Quite open and explicit about it. And when the Tur, the Rosh's son, Rabbein Yaakov ben Asher, put together Arba Turim, there are a couple of areas of halacha that begin with a short introductory siman to that section, and mezuzah is one of them. That begins, before you get into the details, let's talk about mezuzah. Let's talk about the chashivas of mezuzah. Last time we took a look at the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph, and the Shulchan Aruch in Ramah in Sif Beis, we saw that the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah in Sif Beis, remember there was a Mechaber in Sif Beis, chose to discuss a detail. What detail was that? One detail did. Right, Tefach HaChitzon. A din we're going to come to soon later on, as the Shach points out, so in Reish Peites, in terms of where you put the mezuzah, so one of the three dimensions you have to think about is how deep. And the answer is, first, Tefach in. Why, of all dinim, is that the one detail that makes it into introductory siman? It's certainly important, and it will have its place in siman reish peites when we talk about the ins and outs of, no pun intended, of mezuzah installation. But why is that an introductory din? So what we saw, and I neglected to point out last time, it's actually the Taz points out explicitly, Sifkat Nalep, is that this or almost explicitly, this gives expression to the two aspects of mezuzah. Truth, let's take a peek for a moment just to wrap that up. In Maseches Menachos, Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Take a look near the top of Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Amar Rava, third line from the top of Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Amar Rava, mitzvah hanicha betepach asamach shuzer Rabin. This din, Rava says, okay, so last time, most of the sugyas in Bavli of Mezuzah are in Yuma and in Menachas. Yuma the early Yuds, Menachas in the early Lamed. So Rava says, in the midst of this series of memories, this is big, the sugya of Inyanim Mezuzah, Rava says the mitzvah is, ideally you want to put the mezuzah in the tefach asamach shuzer Rabin. The outermost tefach, front door, imagine a front door of the house, so that tefach of the width of the door that's closest to the street. The first tefach going in. Why? My time, huh? So Gemara has two explanations. The later Amoraim, Rav is the middle of the period of Amoraim, but there's only the later Amoraim debated, we know Rav has said this, what's the rationale? Rabbanan Amri, fourth line, Lama Gilman Beis, Rabbanan Amri, most of the B'nai Beis HaMedrash said, Kedei sheyifka b'mezuzah miyad, so that you'll hit the mezuzah, you'll come across the mezuzah as soon as possible. The further out it is, as you're walking into the house, we don't want you to have to walk an extra couple of steps before you hit the mezuzah. We want you to come across the mezuzah as soon as possible. So put the mezuzah as far out. Tefach hasamach, which is around the outermost tefach. Again, of the width, if you have a deep doorway. That's Rabbanan. But Rav Chanina Misura, Rav Chanina, one particular amora of the yeshiva of Surah, he said, no, ki hechi de tintere. So that it will guard you. And then Rav Chanina goes on to quote, then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina, I'm a Rabbi Chanina, ba'orei shlokim yitzah kadosh baruch mi'ez basav adam. You see how different Ribbono Shalom is from a human. Mi'ez basav adam, how does it work with a human king? Melech yeshev b'fnim, am b'shamros v'chutz. The king is sitting pretty on the inside, and his staff, his guards, are on the outside. They're the ones who are shivering in the cold, guarding the king who's comfortably in bed within. While Rosh Shalom means the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a king. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the opposite. Avadav Yoshim Vachutz, for whom Avadav Yoshim Vefnim, we the Jewish people who are strive to be servants of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we get to sit on the inside. V'hum Mishamron Vachutz. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is on the outside, so to speak, guarding us. Shneimar Hashem Shomrecha Hashem Tzilcha Ayad Yiminecha. You remember last time you pointed out that this closing memra, Rabbi Chedbo, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shmira is so different than Mel Pas Vadam, who said that to whom? In the context of which story? There was Akilas Hager, Akilas Hager. That's why on the side that the Mizar Shoshas says you have Boros Zorah Dapir Aleph. They have the story of Akilas Hager, the Romans, the waves of Roman soldiers that come to bring him back to Rome, and find the last one, he makes the motion of touching the mezuzah, right? And they say, "Oh, what's that all about?" Then he shares this idea with them. So that again, that gives beautiful expression to the kiheche de tintere. So the Taz points out, more or less points out, the Taz is of Kan Aleph. Again, coming back to the page of Shulchan Aruch, page Kuf Zayin, on the right side of the Rashi position, the Taz writes that there are two aspects to the mezuzah. Tchila Amar, the last wide line of Taz, should be mezuzah yesh yichud shmo yisbarach. Number one, mezuzah expresses our emunah. Mezuzah expresses our emunah in the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see how it means mitzvahs and aderis, it means tarav yonesh, that's why yoshamoah, it means a relationship with him, your hafta, and it played itself out in history in the past, kadesh vayakiviyato. So that's fine. But the core ideas appear mezuzah. That's number one. Ubebol v'tzeiso yisro yichudo yisbar. You go in and out, you think about it. Emunah. Then he said, and since that's what called hazdari bach. You're careful. You think about the mezuzah means, so you'll be chazering emunah. Zokel arichas yamer. And l'mayn yibri mechem me'evenechem. From the chizuk and emunah that comes from the mezuzah. And then he says, aside from that, the shmirah. You're not even thinking about it. You're not putting your hand in the mezuzah. You're not focusing on the mezuzah. Still, yashal mitasa, you're just going to sleep. Thoughtlessly. Such an incredible mitzvah that it guards you even when you're not involved in it, unlike most other mitzvahs. Again, the two aspects, and that's really the two terutzim on Namagilim Beis. What's the significance of this opening din of the having the mezuzah as far out as possible? Is it that you'll have this theological encounter? You'll start thinking about emunah as soon as possible, or it has to do with expanding the shmirah of the house as much as possible? So those two aspects of mezuzah again are given beautiful expression by the din of tefach hachitzan, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch chooses to put that in. As like the one sampled in the introductory simon. Yeah, question.
How does Tefach HaChitzon specifically tell that those two ideas? I mean, the mezuzah definitely is about those two ideas, but how does
As you just saw, along the Gemara Beis, later Avraham debated what's the reason for doing Tefach HaChitzon, and the two reasons correspond to these two ideas. Either it's because Heshiyitzka Mezuzah Tchila, which probably means you'll come across the ideas of Mezuzah as soon as possible, or you want to expand the Shmira.
But it's more that you'll come across it as soon as possible. That as soon as possible is what's
okay, but, saying, but it expresses both aspects. Right?
I mean, what about the Tefach HaChitzon itself expresses those?
Because these two ideas are the two reasons for that then, as the Gemara makes explicit. Yeah.
So why do we even have one tefach? Why don't we do just immediate, like...
It has to be within the first tefach. You don't have to wait a tefach. Within the first tefach, you have a...
So it could be the first.
Yeah, and anywhere in the...
We could use the door,
so it's hard for you guys to see. And let's imagine for a moment, obviously mezuzah is going in this way, but you can't see that part. Let's imagine for a moment that we're outside in the street, and over there is the house, right? So I say, look, here's the doorway, here's the tefach. So the mezuzah needs to be somewhere here. It shouldn't be here. Anywhere in the first tefach. You could put a mamash, almost falling off. You don't have to do that, but it has to be at least, in the first chunk, in the first tefach going in, so that's immediate. Now, we left one, I would love to move on to Reish Pei Tes, but we left one fascinating question hanging. The Ramah raises a different question. And of course, his introductory siman, I mentioned last time, we'll come back to Ramah Sif Al. He says, it's true, mezuzah is incredibly important mitzvah. Yichud Habore, Shmira, Arichas Yamin, and the Chomesh. But, says Ramah, take a look in Sif Al. We call Makom and said, but there are limits. It is very important. We take it very seriously. We see incredible value in the mezuzah. But sometimes mezuzah loses to something else. What does mezuzah lose? We call Makom and says, Ramah, im ein yadol masegas l'chnot tefillah u'mezuzah. person's really tight, really, really, really tight. Talking about financially tight in a way that for most Americans is hard to imagine. You can't to put food on the table and cover basic rent and tefillin and mezuzah. It's not going to happen. I can't afford both tefillin and mezuzah. I have to choose between tefillin and mezuzah. Plus, I can't put together the cash to afford a pair of tefillin and a mezuzah. So, or mezuzah for my house. So, which one do I do? Tefillin or mezuzah? Imagine. Either, you know, you're stuck on a desert island, Robinson Crusoe, you only have enough parchments for get the tefillin and mezuzah. Or Rambam was thinking about a more prosaic case where you don't have the cash. I can't afford both. So which ones do I prioritize? Take a look at Rambam. What does he say? Yikne tefillin v'lo mezuzah. That's why it's a mekamaka. Hey, mezuzah is very important, but mezuzah is second to tefillin. Why? What does Rambam say? Why? Who says it and why? So who says it? In the parentheses it says Yerushalmi. Interesting. Why? When you say Chavos Hagof. Right. He says the last line, the mitzvah Chavos Hagof, let's take a question a moment. Mitzvah Chavos Hagof Adifa. Ah! Tefillin versus mezuzah, they're both such important mitzvahs, they're actually pretty similar mitzvahs. So which one do I prioritize? Rama says, oh, the mitzvah which is Chavos Hagof. Sounds like a chiyuv of my body. Tefillin on my arm, on my head. The mezuzah is a few feet away. So it sounds like, okay, that's interesting. That's interesting, Svara. The closer it is to me personally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it should develop, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it should be in your body. You see how important tefillin is. It should be in my house, that's pretty important too. It should be on my body. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do something on your own arm. Wow. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. Right? So mezuzah is important, but tefillin is more important. Excuse me? Rambam, right here. Again. Just to review again, so the basics of the page is getting to know the page. Number spoke about when we have Yichud, but just to remember, in Gemara position over here, in the center is a blend of the Shulchan Aruch from Yosef Karo, the Sephardi from the 1500s, and the Ramah, Rosh Israelis Ashkenazi from Poland from the 1500s. Shulchan Aruch is part of the same Chevr and Svat ultimately as Rizal and Rosh Shlomo Kabetz and the Shittim Mekubetz and that Chabura and Svat. Sephardi, predominantly Sephardi Chabura, and the Mechaber is presenting Sephardi Piskei Halacha, and the Ramah is adding Hagos of Ashkenazi Piskei Halacha. He lives in Poland, in Krakow, in Poland, and he's heir to the tradition of the Vayatosos and the Rush and the Trumas Hadeshin and so on and so forth. All the French and the German and Polish Masora. The Mechaber is presenting predominantly, also that, but predominantly the Sephardic Masorah of the Rif and the Rambam and the Rashba and so on and so forth. And as you know, just to review again, the way you know when you're looking at Mechaber Ramah is if it is the font. If it's in block letters, then it's Mechaber. When it switches to Ksav Rashi, then it's Ramah. So Ramah says, well, Tefillin versus Mezuzah Tefillin wins. Tefillin takes precedence because Chovos Hagof. So Vilna Gaon says, that's brilliant. It's very creative. Very appealing svara. The problem is, it's a wonderfully original svara. It's just not what the Amoraim said. So the Vilna Gaon from the Be'er Agra, you see the Gra's sign in the text of Shofar Ramah is a letter in bracket. It's square brackets. So you see that that Dalet, the beginning of word Mekamakam, that Dalet sends you over here. Right below on the right side, see it says there, Agra Os Dalet. He is, as you see, usually very, very terse, very brief. The Gaon would not write five words if he could write four. He tries to keep everything as terse or as possible. Every once in a while, he says, that Akash, I need to talk about. So here, you see, all the other pieces are super short, but Sivkat and Dalet, couple of lines. What does he say? Yerushalmi Sof Megill. Remember, I told you, in the Bavli, Mezuzah is primarily Yuma and Menachas. And the Yerushalmi is primarily the very, very end of Maseches Megillah. So what does Yerushalmi say? This question, the Amoraim discussed it. Tefillah u'mezuzah, tefillah meaning tefillin, and mezuzah, mikodemes, which takes precedence. Machlokes, some famous names, Shmuel and Rav Huna. Shmuel amar mezuzah kodemes, Rav Huna amar tefillah kodemes. Machlokes Amoraim, famous Amoraim. Shmuel says mezuzah goes first. Rav Huna says what the Ramah Paskin, that tefillin goes first. Okay. But it's not necessarily a kasha on Ramah. Okay, Paskin like Rav Huna against Shmuel, that's fine. But let's hear what the reasons are. My time, the Yerushalmi goes on to explain the lumps. What's the rationale? My time is the Shmuel. Why did Shmuel say mezuzah is takes precedence over tefillin? Shekeini no heges yamim tovim over Shabbosos. Because mezuzah applies every day of the week. Tefillin, you don't put tefillin on Shabbos. The mezuzah is 7 days a week. There's never time off for mezuzah. So Shmuel said, you're trying to figure out whether tefillin is mochamer or mezuzah mochamer. Well, mezuzah applies at all times. Tefillin doesn't apply at all times. That shows you the mezuzah mochamer. That's the sheet of Shmuel. Rav Huna doesn't take that sitting down. He says, I'll give you a similar type of look in favor of tefillin. You're right, from a time perspective, mezuzah is more extensive than tefillin. Never a time that you're off of mezuzah, but there can be situations where you're off of mezuzah. Rav Huna says, again, Rav Huna is the one who said what Rama says, tefillin kodman. Well, Rama's reason for tefillin kodman was Chobas Agav. Let's see, was Rav Huna himself? Rav Huna said, let's go back to basics. Rav Huna said this, but what did he say? And Rishami quotes his reason. And a fascinating reason. My time is Rav Huna. Here we are again, the fifth line, the Be'er Agra on the page. Shekein Shin Chavei, Shekein Hino Heges, B'mifar Sheyamim Uvaholchim Midbaros. After all, tefillin applies even to people who are on a boat or who live in the desert. Meaning, mezuzah does not. I mean, if you're on a boat, there's no mezuzah on a boat. There's no mezuzah on a tent, which is something we'll come back to when we learn some of the...
Why are they different answers? Why does what the Ramasai has to be different than what Rav Huna says?
That's exactly what bothers the Gaon. The Gaon says, you want a possum like Rav Huna, by all means. Yerushalmi quotes Machlokas.
Well, they're just formulating it differently. They're basically saying the same thing. It's... Tefillin is chulas haguf, and therefore it applies in certain circumstances in which mezuzah does not apply, such as when you are somewhere but you don't have a house.
So Raziel's interesting answer. Let's process the Gaon's kasha. Let's think of Raziel's answer. We may have to call him temporarily Akiva. Let's see.
Let's check the Gemachi Yitzhak.
Akiva.
Oh, that would be impressive. So the Vilagam said, the Vilagam went on to say, I don't understand. So you shall be pretty again. Let's clarify before you jump into what Akiva Raziel Avram Sigmund has to say. Again, the Gaon presents a Yerushalmi, and Yerushalmi, which will be coming back to the Rish Pevav, the Stipe talks to Yerushalmi in the context, that comparing and contrasting tefillin and mezuzah applies more extensively time-wise, tefillin applies more extensively situation-wise. In other words, mezuzah is what the Rambam calls a mitzvah sarashos, it's a contingent mitzvah. You choose, do you want to live in a house that's high mezuzah, do you want to live on a boat or a tent, which is part of the mezuzah. There's no such thing about tefillin. I can't choose to live a certain lifestyle that will exempt me from tefillin.
Who says that?
That's what the Yerushalmi says. The Rav Huna says, the reason why, you see, tefillin is more chamor because there's no way out. It's true, you have a day off per week, but there's no way out. But mezuzah, if you choose to live in the park, on a park bench, don't recommend it, right? Or you choose to live in a boat, you choose to live in a tent, they have part of the mezuzah. There's no such contingency by tefillin. So that's why Rav Huna says tefillin is more chamer, while Shmuel says mezuzah is more chamer because you're not potter Shabbos yantar. So the Gaon says, you want to pass like Rav Huna, pass like Rav Huna. But wait, what type of chovah is it? It has nothing to do with being on your body. It has to do with the chovah saguf. It's to do with the fact that it applies no matter where you live. So Raziel Siegman was mechaven to, more or less, to Rav Kiveger. Vilgon is on the right side here, Rikivegar is on the left side. As a matter of fact, like Raziel, Rikivegar didn't even start with Akasha. He doesn't quote the Vilgon explicitly. He just sort of says, oh, clearly, what Chovas Aguf means, again, for the Vilgon, it's like, do you mean on your body, or is it that it applies in all circumstances? Rikivegar says, nearly Bipshuto, we're just going to read that there's a long Rikivegar, we're just going to read a couple lines. First couple lines. Nearly mipshuta hakavana tefillin is a chov hamuta al gufo ve'ein lo ofen leftarim mena. Doesn't have to do with the fact that it's on your body. That was sort of the story we gave before. That was the way the Vilna Gaon reads the Rambam. That's like the fact that it touches your skin. Somehow like that, it's closer to your body. It somehow makes it more chamer. I was saying before, maybe the fact that shows you how significant it is. The Rikki Meir says no. You have to understand it with nuance. It's chov as a gof means that that's an inescapable chiyuv. As Rizal is saying, maybe the fact that it's attached to your body, not to your house, is why you can choose your house. You don't get to choose your body. So if a person, Baruch Hashem, has arms and head, so then he's going to have to put tefillah on. But that's what Riki Vega says, that's what the Ramah meant. Mezuzah, ain't achiv alav lev nos bayis. I'm not mechuyev to build a house. If I have a house, I live in a house, I have to put mezuzah. If I choose to not live in a house, we will see, according to many Rishonim, if you have a rental house, you only chayv mezuzah midrabanan. Am I mechuyev to go buy a house so I can have a chiv mezuzah? I said, no. You'll choose to buy a house. That's a real estate decision you have to make. Then you're chayv. If you choose not to buy a house, there's no chiv to go out and buy a house. No chiv to live in a house as opposed to a tent. You want to be live in a boat? You want to be a captain of a ship? And you can live in a boat for the rest of your life? Okay, no mezuzah. Masha'enu kein, tefillin is inescapable. Tefillin is non-contingent. And Rabbi Akiva Eger actually came to this fascinatingly on his own. Because he writes later on, he says, after a while, I came across Yerushalmi. I realized, I was machaven to Yerushalmi. Because that's what Yerushalmi says. So he didn't even, was on the go and was bothered by Yerushalmi. He says, that's not the Ramah's thing. And Rabbi Akiva Eger says, no, that's exactly what Ramah means. Okay. Okay, because then it goes on to interesting questions that lead you to think about this. He says, how you understand Chovas HaGuf will impact how you think about Tzitzis, and how you think about Sukkah and Lulav. Because Sukkah and Lulav, on the one hand, they're not your body. I mean, you do hold the Lulav in your hand. Maybe. Sukkah is not Chovas HaGuf in that sense, but it is absolute. It's not the Tzitzis. Tzitzis does go on you. But on the other hand, unlike tefillin, we seek to be chayv. It's hard to buy a house. It's easy to wear a beged of arba kamfas. So we always try to make sure to wear a beged of arba kamfas so that would be chayv in tzitzis. But I'm not in violation of the din if I don't wear a beged of arba kamfas. Right? But the tefillin is not contingent. So it's interesting. If you say the Ramah's, the Vilna Gaon's understanding of the Ramah, that chovas HaGuf means literally it's on your body, then tzitzis is like tefillin, probably. That's what Kaveh points out. But if you say, no, it means what the Yerushalmi is saying. That's a non-contingency, absolute mitzvah. So then tzitzis is not like tefillin. Tzitzis is like mezuzah. Interesting question. Interesting question. Kaveh has more to say. If you want, you can definitely see. There's plenty going on in this Kaveh. But we are now going to turn our attention for the next 7 minutes or so. I'm going to dive in. This was all Resh Pahe, as I said, as I got started. This is all an introductory seven. So we'll take a question. And then we're going to turn our attention to Resh Peites, which is going to introduce into the details of Hilchos Mezuzah, specifically the most relevant details, some of those relevant details in terms of how you actually go up putting up a mezuzah. Shai, you've been waiting very patiently.
Let's say you get an opportunity to buy a pair of tefillin,
yeah,
to buy a mezuzah, or to get lessons to write a mezuzah or tefillin, but it takes a while to get them, actually write them. And you can get them both then.
Interesting. Teach a man to fish. Feed him for a lifetime. You learn Safras. Interesting. I don't know.
Even if you learn Safras, chances are you won't be able to afford that plus ink plus parchment.
Mm. Okay. That's a kasha of a maizer.
Well, it's a kasha, and then it's not a parchment.
No, but what Shai is saying is...
What about just more simply? You can either do one now or both later.
Right. That's exactly what Shai is capturing, is how do you factor in delay? I'm not sure. That's interesting, Shai. Is it worth buying one now but giving up the other one for a long time? Or I know if I wait, or let's say there's a cheaper, there's an expensive sofa in the area, and then there's an inexpensive traveling sofa. So if I could spend all my money on one of them, on the tefillin, we pass it in, or I could wait a week, not put on tefillin or mezuzah, but if I wait a week, I'll be able to buy cheaply. I'm not sure. Yeah, that's an interesting question. This is an entry point into this world of prioritizing clashes between mitzvahs. There's a whole series of different rules that come into play. How do you deal with conflicts between opposing halachic values? Some say I say dochalos say, some say shavat hasadif, and then they have here the tefillah mezuzah sort of is more specific. Like how do you assess which mitzvah is more chamor? Just like by Averos, the Gemara Yuma Pei Gimel says, if I need to do an Averos, I have to eat some type of tray for food, for Pikuach Nefesh, the Gemara says, you have to figure out, to triage, which one is less severely treif, and eat the one which is least severely treif. So there, you assess severity of the aveira by the severity of the onesh. If one thing is only malchus, the other one is kares, obviously what that which is just malchus is less bear to eat basar b'chalav than to eat, drink blood. The blood is kares and basar b'chalav is just a lot. With mitzvahs, it's harder because they don't have an onesh. So that's why Yerushalmi says, well, maybe we can look at different aspects of the mitzvah. So for that, what you're raising is another interesting dimension, is how about now versus later? I'm not sure. That's a very good question. Yeah. It's an interesting argument.
What is
that? Elazar is saying that in also the last part of Yuma, the Gemara discusses how do I know that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. So the Gemara goes for a long list of different possible drushes, one of which is the Shomer B'nei Yisrael Shabbos. What the Tanaim says sounds like the main, you gotta play the long game. It's worth being Mechal Shabbos today. Being Mechal Shabbos once today will save someone's life, then he can keep Shabbos for the next umpteen years. So that's a valid cost-benefit analysis.
What is he going to die in 2 weeks?
So that's a good question. I don't want to get too involved in the world of Pikuach Nefesh. Suffice it to say, the Gemara doesn't seem to accept that drasha lemaskana. The Gemara ultimately says, Shmuel is a better drasha b'chaybem. However, in the Tziv, right, that we accept this drasha also. And he points out there may be a situation, that again, this is a whole separate beautiful shir, but not Hilchos Mezuzah. He suggests that we may accept the Pesharim Yisrael as the Shabbos in addition to the other source. So that's true. Maybe we should say, look, I'll hear, that's interesting. I'll say, I really should. Ramah says I should buy tefillin, not Mezuzah. So you could say, I buy tefillin right away, start putting on tefillin today. But on the other hand, if I wait a week to buy tefillin, the cheaper sofer will come around, or I'll learn sofras, whatever the case may be, and then I'll be able to have both tefillin and hamazos. Maybe here it's not the same mitzvah though. Here it's I'll miss a week of tefillin so that I can start a week from now have mezuzah as well. So would you say that it's not tefillin versus tefillin? Tefillin versus mezuzah? I'm not sure. Not sure. Interesting question. But that is a whole separate world. That's a whole separate world. Let's come back to Hilchos Mezuzah. So again, we saw the introductory siman. I think I mentioned last time we got started the overall layout of the rest of Hilchos Mezuzah is Resh Pei Vav, Resh Pei Zayin are about are you chayiv? What sorts of rooms, houses, and doorways are chayiv mezuzah? That's the first question. And the second question, which we're going to jump into first, is given that you're supposed to put mezuzah, how do you go about doing that? Resh Pei Ches is how to write a mezuzah. Resh Pei Tes, which we're going to begin right now, is how to install a mezuzah. And the Resh Tzadi also is about writing a mezuzah. And finally, Resh Tzadi Aleph, section 3, is ongoing maintenance after. So we're going to jump right now into Resh Pei Tes, and then after we'll go back to Resh Pei Vav. The turn page is page Kuf Yud. Kuf Yud. The first din, you're going to put up a mezuzah, the first thing you have to know about is Kol Mitzvos Kumah Gemara tells us Varach Lani Over L'Asiyasa. The first thing you got to know is you make a bracha before you do a mitzvah. That's true for many mitzvahs, and mezuzah is one of the many mitzvahs where that is true. So the Mechaber says, Ba'al l'kava, yanichana b'shvofer shal kana, o shal kal dabar, v'yikbe'enu v'mekoma. You prepare the mezuzah, you put it in a tube, and you're ready, you're going to put it on, and before you put it on, yivareich, asher ki yisham sasav v'tzivanu, l'kiboa mezuzah. You make a bracha. A tube, yeah. A number of important issues in Hilchos Mezuzah, generally Hilchos Mezuzah, a given expression here. Number one is the fact that you make the bracha on the attaching it to the doorway, not on the right of the mezuzah. Even though in the Chumash it says, "Uchsavtam al mezuzah ve'sechu v'sharecha." The Chumash speaks more explicitly about the writing of it. As a matter of fact, the Vilna Gaon points out. The Lagan points out in Sif Katan Gimel, Vuloki Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says you do make a bracha on the ksiva. That's because, as Netziv points out, Yerushalmi believes that oftentimes you make a bracha on a hechsher mitzvah. It's kasuv b'Torah. If the preparation for the mitzvah appears in the Chumash, Yerushalmi has a theory that it's almost like a mitzvah to the extent you even make a bracha. Building a tying tzitzis perhaps, building a sukkah perhaps, and writing mezuzah. We don't pass in that way, though. We pass like the Bavli against Yerushalmi. Shach, Vilna Gaon, the Shach quotes, that the Gemara in Sukkim and Beis and elsewhere says you only make a bracha on Gemara mitzvasa. You only make a bracha on the actual mitzvah, not on the preparation. We don't make a bracha on tying tzitzis. We don't make a bracha on building the sukkah, and we do not make a bracha on writing the mezuzah. You make a bracha when you actually do the mitzvah, even though it's a heksha mitzvah kaz b'tor. It's a heksha mitzvah appears in the chumash. It's important, but not bracha worthy. Bracha worthy is the actual maisa mitzvah. The actual maisa mitzvah. The Ramah goes on to say, and this is a unusually important thing. Hakoveya bezo gimel mezuzos. Let's then put up two or three mezuzos, not just one. Right, move into new house. You have a whole slew of mezuzos, a whole slew of doors. And even, not just put on one. Vivarech bracha achas l'kulam. You make one bracha for all, and the parenthesis tells you, based on, of course, from a tshuva of the Rashba. The Vilna Gaon, Kedarko, tries to find the earliest source. He says the Rashba, writing in the 12th, 1300s, writes this din, but the original, the early source I can find, says the Vilna Gaon, is 1,000 years earlier. The Tanoim and the Tosefta, which is a collection of braces, second string, but that which didn't make it into Mishnayis. The Vilna Gaon Os Dalid says this is the Tosefta Maseches Brachas. It says you're going to do multiple iterations of a mitzvah. I'm going to shecht a whole bunch of chickens. I don't make an ala shechita in each one. I make ala shechita in the first one, and all of them are covered. I'm going to put on 100 pairs of tzitzis. So I'm going to make one ala mitzvah tzitzis. You put them all. If you're making a bracha at all, and mezuzah the same thing. Why this is particularly relevant? Give me another 10 seconds. Explains there are more issues in the bracha, which we'll pick up with next time. But the reason why this Ramah is particularly important is because, as we're going to see when we get to Siman Resh Pei Vav, where you chayv and where you putter, oftentimes many of the doors in your house are suffik chayv, suffik putter. So we put up mezuzah, suffik deraisa l'chumrah. But you don't want to make a bracha on that. So oftentimes, if you figure I can make a mezuzah, so you start with like the door to the living room, dining room, and somewhere nice. But there's actually rules. But where to start? Because you need to start in a place where you're vadai chayiv. The door to your living room, dining room, according to Rambam, is patur from mezuzah, because it has no door. And we're going to see the whole series of such issues, cases where it's a machlokas rishonim, chayiv and not chayiv. So we put mezuzah in all the places, but we would rather make the bracha in the case which is vadai chayiv. And since one bracha covers them all, start with one which is vadai chayiv, make the bracha there, and then the bracha will cover everything else you put up as well. To be continued, Rav Osai, enjoy your lunch.